I thought also tonight was a good time to, I wanted to speak about, we have two photographs on the altar here in the middle. The person on the left is named Gyaron Kenser Rinpoche. And when the monks, Sera in general, up until the time of the Cultural Revolution in China, had, I don't know, close to 8,000 monks, I think, Sera in general, 8,000 monks. And then during the destruction and the killing and the bombing of Sera, only 108 monks from Sera May survived to come to India. And they... And they worked really hard, and they cleared a jungle. Some got killed by elephants during that time. They cleared a jungle, and they started to rebuild their monastery. It's now up to 3,000 or 4,000 monks, which is amazing, because they didn't have a penny, and they many of them starved and like that during that time. But Gyaron Kenser Rinpoche organized the new Sera. He was the single driving force. He was, I think, 35 at the time. And he decided, we're going to make Sera again, Sera May. And single-handedly, his force of will, which was considerable, he started the monastery again. He passed away last week. And he taught us... Vinaya, he was our Vinaya master, and I think in 1999 we had a group went there, 30 people, 40, 50, 50 people, 60, I don't know. We went to Sera, and he blessed us with a teaching on Vinaya, or vowed morality, which he was probably the greatest master I was aware of that subject. So it's a great loss in the world, but he lived a very long life. He was very old when he passed away, and full of spit and vinegar to the end. But he was from our college, which is called Gyaron College, which is Pabongkor Rinpoche is also from that college. So the jewel of our college is Pabongkor Rinpoche, who wrote the book You're Learning for 12 Years. And he was the most important leader of our college. Then on the right is Luis Mora from Mexico City. He first came to me with Osiris and Aisha from Mexico City, and they were making a spiritual movie. And he's an actor, he's very handsome. And during the making of the movie, it was discovered that he had a brain tumor. And I think the movie sort of changed the story of Luis. And many people worked on, you know, he threw himself into practices to stop the cancer. And he worked for several years. And it succeeded with the brain tumor. Basically went away. Or the doctors declared it a non-issue. He did have one operation. And so he worked really hard for a couple of years. And then suddenly, about 3 weeks ago, he got it spread to his abdomen very seriously. And then he passed away a week ago, something. And so we'd like to honor them. It's also the first anniversary of our loss of a dear student here, Ian Thorson, who was one of the main people in the beginning to start this place. He was a big part of this place, especially in the beginning. He was in our lives, he was a big part of our lives, and continued to be until he passed away a year ago, about a year ago. So I thought tonight we could honor those three friends and pray that they will come back to us, right? So let's do a little meditation. And just pray to meet them again. Some three precocious, we're looking for three precocious children. Okay. Good, thanks. Scotty, could you bring those two photos just so you guys can see? Especially Luis, I don't think you knew Luis. Yeah. The Mexico City group has promised me to have an awesome program there in his honor soon. Okay. Yeah, can't say but see. I hope you never meet him on a bad day. And that's Luis. Yeah. Several of the lady retreatants want to meet him in his next life. All right. Okay, we'll start. We don't have a lot of time tonight, and that's okay. We had a lot of heart opening. That's the main thing. And I was very grateful for the kind teachings that we received today from everyone, and they're awesome. And also Alejandro, there's extremely, to me, very beautiful teachings all day long. And for me, it was like dessert. You know, and I feel like a proud daddy, and I feel like all the hard work was worth it, right? Do parents feel like that? I don't know. Probably at some point. When they get to be 40. But I feel like that, and I feel proud of our university, and I feel proud of their state of mind. That is growing here. And really hard work in many ways. And in Tibet, they call it Drupte. Say Drupte. Drupte, day means, Devu means the results of your labor. Drup means siddha, right? It means the results of your hard work. And I feel very happy with the results of our hard work, everybody's hard work, you know? And the results are very pleasing to me, and I'm very grateful. Okay, stop crying. Start teaching. Okay, so then he's continuing with his text. So there are special prayers called Tungshak. Tungwa means to fall down. It's related to a word Tungwa. The Sanskrit root is Pat, as in Patanjali. Okay, Patanjali. Fell into the water, right? That's how he was born. So anyway, tung means to fall down. Shak, you know, means to confess. So tung shak is a genre of literature which means to confess your mistakes that you've made in your life and continue to make. I thought I'd read you a little tung shak that we do, the monks and nuns do, you know, twice a month, supposed to do sojong. And there's a small, I like it, you know, there are bigger ones and there are more, there are longer ones, but I personally like this one. And someday we should translate this. It's part of a longer ceremony, a sojong ceremony, which is very complicated and very rich. It has many, many components. Over the centuries, it has grown and flourished like Dennis's flowers. And it has become a very beautiful masterpiece, the Sojong ceremony. And I learned it from Ken Rinpoche. It took me many years because he would not let us take a book into the Sojong. We had to memorize it. And it's exquisite. And we should translate it someday. But it's very beautiful. And I assembled it over many years' time. I got all the pieces and put it together. And it's in the ACIP database, the whole ceremony. I got, after many years, I got the whole thing pieced together. And it's in there. It's a very precious thing. So we should work on that someday. But here's the Tungshak part. You take the youngest little monk in the monastery. I don't know why. He's got to have a voice like the Vienna Boys Choir. And he goes, he's like, I don't know, he's like 10 or something, or 8. And he goes, and then everybody goes, but it's so sweet. If you ever get a chance to hear the Sojong. Sojong is one ceremony that all the Sarah monks do together. So Sarah J, where the other half of Sarah, which are not so, you know. That's the one time we all get together and do our ceremony together, Sojong. This is kind of awesome. It's like 4,000 monks screaming at the top of their lungs. You know, so this is what they say. I bow down to the Buddhas, the enlightened beings, and I bow down to the Dharma, and I bow down to the Sangha, of all the corners of the universe. My name is Losan Chunzen, or you say your own name, and then you start confessing the different parts of the monk's vows, which I can't go over with you. But you go through each part of the monk's vows. There are five categories of vows. We have 253, and the nuns hate it when I say, but it's such fun to say, and we've been told to have fun. The nuns have 364 vows. The monks only have 253 because they're more naughty than the monks and they need more vows. So we confess our five sets of vows, and then we say, Shayan Neki Lama Matemba Dong. I think those are useful for us. These are the concluding statements during a Tungshak. I have not properly relied on my Ne Lama. Okay? Ne Lama means we had a pretty strong system at Diamond Mountain. I think after the 3-year retreat started, it got kind of harder because everyone went somewhere. But Nay Lama means a mentor, a personal mentor. In AA, it's called a sponsor, right? So it would be an older monk in the monastery agrees to be your sponsor. In Alcoholics Anonymous, it means a person who's got a little bit more seniority in AA will agree to be a sponsor for a newer member of AA. And then the basic job of a sponsor is if the younger person feels like they might take a drink any time of day or night, they call the sponsor. And the sponsor comes to their house and they take care of them and they help them, you know. And so a Nay Lama is very similar. Nay Lama means, Nay means the place, meaning it should be one who lives fairly close to you within Skype range. It's got bigger now. And they are supposed to help you through crisis periods when you have a crisis. Any monk, all monks have to have a Nay Lama, and they are high priority. It's a high priority. In the priority of monks' commitments, Nay Lama is probably first, meaning it's more important than all other monks' vows. And the test of that is if your Nay Lama dies or is on a trip, within 24 hours you have to find a replacement. The Nay Lama should normally appoint a replacement before they leave, if they can. So there's never a situation in a monastery when a monk doesn't have a personal mentor available for a crisis period, when they're in a crisis. And that's a very good system because that means everyone has someone above them that they're supposed to be listening to when they're having a personal spiritual crisis, you know. So we had that system here at Diamond Mountain. I think it got a little difficult to keep it going after the graduation and the 3-year retreat started. But I think it would be nice to continue it, right? I assigned someone to keep the names of the Nay Lamas on a spreadsheet. Okay, but I'm sure that will be done. Okay. Lama Dham Tenpa. Chawa Nama Shupa Chepa Dang. Chawa Nama Shupa Chepa means I confess things I've done without asking permission of my teachers. Tsepa Chuchok Shiwa Ma Chepa. I confess not bringing back two sides in some kind of dispute or argument in the spiritual community. Those are three high responsibilities in a spiritual community. Shiva Machepala Sopa Shi Chituna Nunjetam Nunchan Zeta Shindabanangi Kamni Chung Yepa Bhakti Meva Chungunam means. Then they quote the sutras from which these rules came. I didn't follow those sutras. Kyamdu Lapchandang Gawadang, I didn't take refuge properly. Migewa Chipongi Chutam the Gawan Yepa Bhakti Meva Chungwa. I have broken the 10 non-virtues countless times. Dorna Sangiki Chepanang Gawadang. I've not, to put it briefly, I broke everything the Buddha advised us to do. I grew up Christian, I love it. I love the Christian ritual. But it says, we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and we have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and there is no health in us. Those are awesome words, and they stay with me. It's exactly the same wording. It's very beautiful. Gendugi Nangtin Gawadang. I broke the rules by which the spiritual community has agreed to live by. I have broken those. And I have broken the general morality which is common to all peoples of the world, you know, not to harm other people. Then you say, I, monk Michael Roach, Chunzin, Losan Chunzin, I open my heart to all the holy beings of the every corner of the universe, and I admit my mistakes. Tulo chabo, I don't hide anything. Chakso, I confess everything. Chinche kyan dombalik lakso. Chinche, chinche? Say, chinche. Kyan dombar lakso. Chinche kyan dombar lakso. And in the future, I will restrain myself. right? That's the final words of the Tungshak. Chinji Kendomba links to us. Tushin Shaknanda Devaladepa Nepa Gyurki. If I open my heart and openly confess my faults, which we all, I like the talks because everyone was opening their hearts and confessing their faults. I think mine are just being very stubborn and etc. Unforgiving of foolishness sometimes. But, and I confess that, being a little too hard on people, perhaps. Tushishana da devalarepa nepa gyaki. I will feel better if I open my heart and say what mistakes I've made. Matu mashangna, but if I don't, mingyo lakso, I will not be happy. Okay. And that's the end of the Tungshak. Okay. Why did I read the whole Tungshak to you? Because, Pabongkor Rinpoche says, Tungshak did sixin la dop shika tsangya. If you study the Tungshak carefully, you will find the four powers there. You will find all four powers there. The most important one is Chinche Kyang, Dombo Lakso, which is what? And in the future, I will restrain myself. That's the real part of confession or purification, which destroys all bad karmic power. Is the decision to restrain yourself in the future. I'll try to do a better job. I'll try to be more, patient with my kids. All right? Okay? That would be a good, restraint. All right? Okay. Chinji kyan dombo gilakso. And be more sensitive to their, needs. And okay. Chinji kyan dombo lakso. Gilakso. Jay Dagni Chimbo, Chinle Namkada Nyamba. If we take, for example, Jetson Kapa, the teacher of His Holiness the First Dalai Lama and the founder of our lineage, how do you tell a follower of Jetson Kapa's monk's robes? We got this blue thread here. It's like Blue Angel's helmet. Other people don't wear the blue thread. We got the blue thread. Okay, just so you know, if you ever check somebody out, they're cool if they have the blue thread, okay? Jay Dagni Chembo, Chenne Namgada Nyamba, Jetson Kapa's activities, his influence was equal to space, the extent in which space continues through the universe, okay? His influence on the happiness of living beings in different worlds was equal in extent to outer space, okay? Even he would recite this Tungshak in the form of Pumbo Sumbe Do. Say Pumbo Sumbe Do. Pumbo means heap or skanda in Sanskrit. Sum means three, Triskanda Sutra. It's called the Triskanda Sutra, the Three Heaps of Sutra, okay? And everybody talks about it, but no one ever reads it. So, of course, I went and got it out of Dan Styrus' database because Jigme cataloged it. She's cataloging the Kangyur single-handedly. Ningbo's doing the Sumbu. But I thought you'd. We don't have time to go through it. Someday we can. It's, it's like 50 really squashed pages. So, it would take itself probably 6 months. I don't know. But what I did was I read it carefully because we always talk about it, we never look at it. And this was Jetson Kapa's favorite way to do his Tungshak. So I thought it'd be interesting to look it over and see what was so sexy about it. And I noticed a pattern, and then I worked on it, and I chopped out the pattern. So I'm going to tell you the pattern, then you're going to tell me what it's the pattern of. Okay, so here's the sutra that he would recite for his own Stung shark, okay. Actually, for his sakjang, also to collect good karma, to clean his bad karma, and to collect new good karma, he used to read this. So what's in it? The first whole part is dedicated to chakchel, which is prostration. That goes on for 4 pages. Then he does chupa, which is what? Making offerings. I mean, who's this? This is Lord Buddha prostrating to other Buddhas and then making offerings to them. 3 pages later, it starts confession, shakpa. Third part is shakpa. That goes on for, I don't know, 10 pages. The fourth part is rejoicing, yirangwa. That goes on for a long time, which is another form of fun. It's really just fun, right? The Tibetan word for fun must be rejoicing, I think. Yirang. 13 pages into it, asking your teacher to teach you. Okay? And then finally asking them to stay with you. Okay? Where do we know this pattern from? Yeah, these are the famous 7-limb puja. This is the 7-part puja, which we are in the middle of learning. Duh. Okay? Which is the 5th of the 6 jorchas, the 5th of the 6 preparations for. So I think what's interesting that we learn from this is that Jetsun Kapa drew the teaching on the 7 limbs from a sutra, from the 3-heap sutra. Then at the end, Lord Buddha kind of wraps it up, okay? He just repeats himself again. But that's the structure of the 3-heap sutra. If you ever want to study it sometime, as Ted Lemon says, in our copious free time, we'll do that. But it's a very powerful sutra. Okay. He took the time to do that whole ceremony, that huge sutra, to recite it. And Pabongkor Rinpoche, to me, seems to be saying, if you do a good tungshak, everything's also in there from that sutra, from the 3-heap sutra. If you don't have time to do the 3-heap sutra, you could just do a good tungshak, and that would be enough. Okay? All right. Teacher Tungshatan Chak Dakte Shakpa Chepa Jatan Kapa Chembe Kasulian. Therefore, the custom of doing prostrations while you do your confession was dear to Jetsun Kapa's heart. Chaksul means his custom. It was his personal custom that when he did his confessions, he would do prostrations at the same time. I don't think it's inappropriate to do Surya Namaskar and do a confession thing. Like if you have something you really want to get off your chest, I think it would be very appropriate to find a yoga teacher who was interested in doing 48 Surya Namaskars in a row this morning, whose name sounds like Anatole. But I could see Anatole making a whole practice out of that. I could see, I don't think it's at all inappropriate to do Surya Namaskaras. And then you could recite the names of holy beings as a confession while you're doing. You could do like, I don't know, 10 or 15, 20. I know, is Lisa here tonight? She was here last night. She does 100 and something, 108 to stop war and stuff like that. That's nice. I mean, I could do the first 20, I think. So I would consider that. If I was stuck in a small hut for a couple months, I might, if I was really, you know, anyway, I would, I think that might be kind of cool to try in conjunction with the sutta we're going to hear about shortly. Tengah shak piche piche so kabe chne kshin. Lodak du chen nam ka gyan sen. Lodak du chen ki kyang di goni dip jang ze. So there was a famous lama named Lodak Dubchen, the great Siddhi from Lodak. Lodak is southern Tibet, just near the Bhutanese border. Marpa was from Lodak. So there was a lama named Lodak Dubchen. His real name was Namka Gyaltsen. His dates are, if you care, is 1326 to 1401. I will continue to tell you details of lamas, even if you don't care, because somebody has to keep them. Okay. He used to favor this practice also of doing his prostrations and doing his confession at the same during the prostrations. And so your namaskara is a true prostration. Namaskara means to make prostration, right? Deshin chi ki kirub kun kyam digadze. Many later sages also favored this practice. Sages and scholars. Kedrup means sages and scholars. The bookworms and the yogis, asana people, they both did that. Okay? Kedrup digadze. Dubchok losan namgyal ki kyam dirang sangmarsung. Then there was a lama named Dubchok Losan Namgyal who also favored this practice. I hate to see a lama not get credit. You know, we could just go on, but I looked him up and I read his life story. And I thought interesting. TBRC never found all his information. He's not there. So I worry about lamas like that because they're going to get lost. So here you go. Like 2 minutes on his life, okay? His life shortened to 2 minutes. He lived 1670 to 1741. He was also called Chadel. Chadel means a hermit. You are all Chadels. Cha means to do a lot of busy stuff. Jel means you don't. Okay? Linguistically, Jel is related to shell. Excuse me. Which is this sound. That's called shell. And Jel came from that. So chadel means you have separated yourself from busy, being busy, hopefully. Okay. He studied at Tashin Thumbo Monastery, which is the fourth of the... There are three great monasteries of Tibet in our lineage, which is Jebun, Ganden, and Sera. And then the fourth is counted as Tashin Thumbo, which is the seat of the Panchen Lama. Okay. He studied the five great books. He did the ACI 18 courses. He studied under Panchen Losang Yeshe. After he finished the five great books, he studied Lam Rim in its entirety with the second Panchen Lama, okay, Losang Yeshe, who lived 1663 to 1737. And he studied Bodhicharvatara with him, which is not one of the five great books in the traditional Geshe course. Okay. And he studied Narim Chamo, the great book on secret teachings by Jetsun Kapa. He became a full monk from the second Dalai Lama. He became a master of Vajrayogini, Chakrasamvara, Heivajra, Bhairava. Okay, these tantras. He studied the great tantras and Kala Chakra and Amitabha. He studied Akirim and Dzogrim, finished his studies. Then he studied Naro Churuk, the six yogas of Naropa, okay, which you guys studied. You basically went to the same course, if you notice. then he went to Ra Deng and went into meditation. He did a long meditation retreat outside of Ra Deng Monastery at a place called Senge. Shul means at the base of this famous rock formation, which is called Jaksenge. Jak means a huge rock formation. We have lots of jaks around here. Senge means a lion, right? Like Singapore. And he went into deep retreat there. After he did his ACI courses, and he did his tantric courses, and he did his yoga study, then he went into deep retreat at the foot of Jaksenge. Do you know this place? It's the place where Jetsongkhapa had a vision of all the teachers of the Lam Rim, which inspired him to write the Lam Rim Chimel. Okay, he was sitting under the same rocks. Their rocks and our rocks ain't much different. It looks a great deal like the retreat valley, that area of Tibet. If you were transported there, it would look like Arizona. It doesn't look any different. It's the same, except you can't breathe. Okay. Then when he finished, he stopped off at Ulka and did some more long retreat. Who's Ulka? That's where Jetsongkhapa went with 8 disciples and did his long retreats. Okay. He did a very long retreat there. We'll hear more about that later. Maybe tomorrow. Okay. But Ulka is a river and he crossed it in a leather coracle, which is a ring of bamboo, covered with yak hides. And he could only fit 8 students. And they went off for a couple of years retreat, he topped off their study with the cherry like that. Okay. So this Lama also went there to Ulka just to honor that place and did a long retreat. Okay. So they had the same course of training that you did. And then he went to the same place as Jetsongkhapa when he did his great retreats. Then he went to top it off, he went to Ngulchu Ritra. Ritra means the hermitage of Ngulchu, which is quicksilver. Ngul means silver, Chu means water. And we studied Ngulchu's works extensively during your 7 years of tantric training. Then he went back to Teshin Lhunpo and studied some more Lam Rim with the second Panchen Lama. And he wrote some famous books. One is on Chö, which is, we've studied that a little bit. We didn't finish it. like that, okay? And he's considered the 50th lineage holder of the Lam Rim teaching. So if you count all the Lam Rim teaching lineage holders, he's number 50. But I think his life is interesting because if you are a Buddhist of the Dalai Lama's lineage, if you started out in that lineage, which we have, then that's the normal course of your spiritual career. You study the 5 great books, which is exactly the same as the ACI courses. Then you go through the tantric training, which we did for 7 years. Then you do the yogic training, and then you do your deep retreats. And that's just our custom, you know, and that's different from the custom of other religious traditions in this country, for example. But I think we have to be more sensitive to how odd it might seem to them. If you haven't grown up in a country hearing, what do you call it? Your parents talking about these spiritual heroes of their country and what they went through. I think in time, Western culture will appreciate Buddhist culture, but it will take a while. And I think so. In the meantime, there will be some, what do you call it, cultural disconnects until Buddhism is respected as a valid and useful path. You know, not everybody has to follow it, but it's what do you call it? It's a real thing. Just like Judaism and Christianity and Hinduism and, but people just aren't familiar with it yet. So, but that is a normal course of a spiritual training in our tradition. Okay. And you're doing exactly that by the letter. Okay. Dena, Balenshin to Chewe, Ke Kak Chepashin, Dik Janglo Dewashik, Digone Che. If you think about it, whenever we make a mistake and upset someone else or hurt someone else, then the clock starts, right? That karma doubles every 24 hours, right? The power of that karma doubles every 24 hours. It's like a Bank of America credit card, which I can tell you about, and you're like cruising along, you get a couple of credit cards because you're like, you got all cocky about your finances, you know, like, I'm going to pay it off every month. And then, you know, you lose your accountant and, and suddenly you can't pay your bills. And boy, that thing doubles, triple, quadruple, like boom, 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 you know, and karma's like that. Okay. Every day it's doubling exponentially, right? And he says, if you do a good four powers, it's like paying off your credit card because the interest payments stop, you know, and you should get some feeling of relief. If you do your Surya Namaskars and do some good, confession at that time, then one of the signs of success of a confession is a feeling of relief. You know, my card's back to zero. You know, I'm not paying interest. It's not doubling, quadrupling, you know, like that. It's a good feeling. I've done it a few times with my credit card. Not recently. Okay. Chak soken taki kyang. Chak tawe nyanakap samlo lekpa tangte. Luki tamo jawat sam chene. Chak tang sok luma shakpe kaptan dangna sang. He's just encouraging people. There are people in Tibet who, as a spiritual practice, tried to do a certain number of prostrations, like 100,000 or 10,000 or, you know, 5,000. Or they tried to prostrate around the Potala Palace, which takes, I don't know, a month. Okay? Some cult activity like that. Okay? That was a tradition in our lineage to do that, you know. You would have leather gloves, huge, thick leather gloves, and then you would have like hockey knee pad things, and you would prostrate around the Potala Palace, and it takes a month or something, you know. Or you might prostrate from Jetsam Kapa's monastery in East Tibet to Lhasa, which is, you know, 1,000 miles or something. Okay. People have done it, okay. And it would look strange to us, and it doesn't look strange to them. They think it's quite beautiful. Okay. Anyway, so if you're one of those people, he says, don't waste your time counting. You might as well get in some good confession while you're going. You know, probably we have enough bad deeds to cover from, you know, Tsongkha to Lhasa, 1,000 miles. On each prostration, to think of one mistake we made in our life, we could use the mileage, you know. Okay, so he's encouraging us, you know, if you're gonna do Mundro, where you try to collect 100,000 prostrations or 100,000, you know, then why not say one of those Buddhist names and think of some mistake you've made in your life and purify it while you're doing even your yoga. Why not use a Surya Namaskar? You know, I've experimented with it, and I'll tell you my own experience. I don't enjoy doing yoga and trying to focus on something else. It's difficult for me, you know. Like, I can try to dedicate the yoga practice to another person, but for me to go through the asanas and simultaneously try to think of all the bad things I did, it doesn't work. For me, I'm just telling you from my own experience, it doesn't work. I can't focus on my breathing. I can't get the movement right. You know, I can't watch my channels and think about, you know, somebody I hurt. You know, it's too upsetting. I can't do it. But I think what I personally do is, before the yoga, standing in Tadasana, I think, okay, I dedicate this to cleaning that boo-boo I made in my life. And then I'd go through the whole yoga session. And I might think of it a few times now and then. And then in Surya, even in Shavasana, I don't like to mess up my Shavasana by thinking about all the boo-boos I made in my life. So I kind of wait till the end of the Shavasana. I think you should enjoy your Shavasana. You should go deep into your Shavasana. And then after the Shavasana, you can, while you're standing up, rolling up your mat, you can sit for a second and say, okay, I dedicate that to that mistake I made in my life. And for me personally, it works better. Okay. You can come back to the motivation a few times during the series, but during the whole series, to think of a whole story, as Gelsey would say, of something I did in my life. It's, to me, it's distracting. It distracts from the yoga, personally. So that's my own experience. I think before you start, when you're sitting or when you're standing, you make a very powerful intention. Then you move to the asanas. And then if it occurs to you a few times, you let it come. And then at the end, you dedicate it strongly. Okay, that's my suggestion. How are we doing on time? Not so good. Give me like 5 more minutes, okay? And I'll give you the world. Talk about Day Tsuni Dambar. Gyurunak. Okay, I want to do Gyurunak, okay? When you do, he says, as you do your first 3 prostrations, you should do a Gyurunak, okay? Say Gyurunak. Gyurunak. Gyur can mean to change. Gyur can mean to translate, as in Kangyur and Tengyur, right? But Gyur, and Gyur can mean to change money. What do you call that? Change money, right? And Gyur can mean to multiply. So multiplication, mathematical multiplication in Tibetan is called Gyur. In this case, it's multiplication. And Ngak means mantra. A mantra or tantra. Tantra is sometimes called mantra because it emphasizes mantra practice so much. So that's another word for tantra in Tibet. There are several words for tantra in Tibet. One of them is ngak, okay? We were in, but by just a side note, I know there might be a few new people here. We were asked to fly to Uruguay, to Punta del Este, to teach a soccer team owner and his 60 wealthy friends at their beach mansion, which was a lot of fun, actually. We flew there from Buenos Aires, which is just across the river, and then we flew back. But what I remember from, and it was a wonderful teaching, and we stayed up till 2 in the morning. They stayed with us. They wouldn't stop asking questions till 2 in the morning, and we had a wonderful time. They were very, very beautiful. But I remember on the way back to the airport, we were exhausted, and it was in the morning, and there was a big magazine for sale called Tantric Secrets magazine, you know, and there was some sexy lady on the front, and I was like, oh my God, you know. And just for your information, the word tantra refers to very gentle, beautiful, holy religious practices, such as pretending your mother is the Buddha. Okay? Seriously. And then trying to live by that code in your daily life. And that's the meaning of tantra. Okay? And where they got the sex thing and killing chickens and stuff is the been created by some media thing, I guess. Or I don't know how it started, but it's not at all a Buddhist practice. And it's offensive to a Buddhist to refer to tantra in that way, okay? Because it's totally the opposite of everything we value and everything we practice, okay? Okay, anyway. I mean, it'd be like going to a Catholic church and writing an article about the priest is drinking some wine out of a gold cup up there and handing it out to everybody. And they're all drunkards, you know? I mean, it would be as foolish and as inappropriate to a Buddhist and as offensive to a Buddhist, okay? All right. Chakso ken daki kyang, chakso e yanakap samlo lepatang. So you should keep your mind on your goals as you do your prostrations. And you should do gyurnak. So I'm going to give you 2 multiplication mantras. So this is like in the category of stuff that traditional Buddhists do and that I don't like. You know, it's like, oh, say this mantra, then everything you do after that is 100,000 times more powerful, you know? And I'm like, yeah, sure, you know. It looks like it's... never mind. So I kind of discounted this whole thing of a special mantra that you do before you do your 10 namaskaras and suddenly you get the credit for 50,000 of them. You know, like it just seems too easy to me. I agree with what Bikram was quoted as saying about hard work. there's no shortcuts, you know, in the diamond business. Sometimes, like once in 5 years, we used to buy huge amounts of diamonds. I have never been to Africa. I have never dealt in those diamonds. And I've been to Morocco to study Quran, but that's the only time I've been to Africa. But, you know, sometimes a guy would come with a big package of diamonds and he would offer to sell it for half of its value. And then we would say no. We're just trained to say no. Why? They stole it. Okay? And we don't want to deal with those people. You know what I mean? There's no shortcuts. You know, if someone says you can get 50,000 prostrations in 5 by saying this magic mantra, I'm like, yeah, you go sell it somewhere else, you know? But then I, as usual, the thing which I was criticizing turns out to be true. And that happened with yoga also. You don't know how many students I talked out of doing yoga when I first started. Anyway, and I apologize to them because they're still not doing yoga. But anyway, there is such a thing as a Gurangak. It's from Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha taught it, okay? And I checked it out, and I found it in the Kangyur because of Dan and John's work. So I actually found the sutra which explains the multiplication mantras, okay? So if you ever want to know, I can show you the sutra. What I concentrated on was getting the mantra correct, because when mantras came into Tibet, they often got corrupted as the Tibetans forgot Sanskrit, which is happening in the Buddhist world in America as people get too lazy to study Tibetan because everything's already in English. So then people will forget the Tibetan more and more, and then later they'll come up with some weird Tibetan that's not correct. So what I concentrated on was getting the two mantras correct. So I'm going to give you the correct mantras. I advise doing it. So I changed my tune. And here they are. Maybe I'll write them out for you. That'd be easier, right? Because I did a lot of work on them. The first one is a sort of an all-purpose amplification mantra. It was corrupted. Okay? Lord Buddha taught it, and then it got totally corrupted, and they added another mantra before it, which is a corruption of the first one. So they took the real mantra, they corrupted it, and added it to the beginning of the other one. So I just reduced it back to its original form, and it's in here somewhere. Let me make sure. I really like it. I tried it out. It was kind of cool. It worked, okay? Which is, I guess, what you're supposed to do before you teach something, right? Okay. Let's repeat it just for fun, okay? This is an all-purpose amplification mantra. It works with all virtuous activities. Whatever you do, you can do this before. You know, you can say 3 of them. And then just do whatever you're going to do. All right? Ready? Here we go. So you can talk for that, okay? It's like not talking, right? Say Om. Smara. Smara. Vimanaskara. Mahajava. Hum. 3 times, ready? Om. Smara. Smara. Vimanaskara. Mahajava. Hum. Om. Smara. Smara. Vimanaskara. Mahajava. Hum. Okay. Now I'll tell you what it means, okay? Which is nice. Smara means I think of you. Smara means I think of you, I think of you. I can't stop thinking about you. It comes from the root smr. Oftentimes a Sanskrit root loses its initial S and it became mer. And then there's a process called reduplication, which means that you double the root if the activity is done over and over again. So that becomes murmur, okay? And that became memory or memorial, okay? So memory is a reduplicated root. It's a double M root. It's a double murmur, okay? Memory or I remember. So it means I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking of you. It's like you're to your heart angel, okay, to your personal angel. If you have one, you can say smara smara, you know, okay, seriously, om smara smara, you know, I'm thinking of you, I can't stop thinking of you, okay. If you don't have a heart angel, you can imagine one that you'd like to have, and you kind of create them by doing the mantra, okay, om smara smara, okay, I'm thinking of, I can't take my mind off of you, okay. Manas kara means yila chepa in Tibetan. Manas kara, manas means mind, right? Mental came from that. Kara means to make. Create came from that. Manas kara means to, means turn your mind. Vi manas kara means tear yourself away from what you're concentrating on. You're saying that to your angel. Okay? Smara smara, I'm thinking of you. Tear yourself away from, you know, whatever you're doing, I don't know what you're doing in your Buddha paradise, but can you vimanaskara just a few minutes and pay attention to me? Okay? Vimanaskara. Okay? Smara smara, I'm thinking of you. Vimanaskara, drop what you're doing. Come. Java. Okay? Say Java. It's cool, because Java means coffee, right? And programming company. Anyway, Java means quick. Mahajava means come really quick. Okay, tear yourself, I'm thinking of you, tear yourself away from what you're doing and get your rear end here fast. You're saying that to your heart angel lama, okay? It's a beautiful mantra, right? And that will amplify every good thing you do. So if you're about to do some cool thing, then, you know, om smara smara vimanaskara mahajava hum. Hum just closes a mantra, right? Om starts a mantra. So that's the whole mantra, okay? That's a general all-purpose multiplication mantra. You can check it out. Test it out. Test drive it and see how it works. We have all these guinea pigs here. It's the guinea pig retreat. We can ask them to try things and then see if it works. Okay, quickly, because I know it's late and I don't want to burn you out any more than I did already. There's a specific amplification mantra for prostration. Okay, for doing prostrations. And that's also from, that's specifically taught by Lord Buddha, and it's in the Kangyur. It's a separate work in the Kangyur dedicated to simply that mantra, the one mantra. It's in a special section of the Kangyur called the mantras that are difficult to, what do you call it, categorize according to a certain tantra. So they put it, all those in a separate mantra section of the Kangyur, okay? And this is a prostration mantra. So if you're into prostrations, if you want to try to do prostrations, if you're into Surya Namaskars anyway, you might as well get some mileage out of them. Really, why not? It's not dumb, it's not useless. We're all going to do 10,000 more Surya Namaskars, especially if Anatole's still around. And we might as well make them more meaningful before it and afterwards, I think. Then do the mantra once or twice, okay? He says three times before you start. Here's the mantra. Same om namo manjushriye namah sushriye namah uttama shriye swaha. One more, two more times, okay, ready? Om namo manjushriye Nama Sushriye Nama Uttama Shriye Swaha. One more time. Om Namo Manjushriye Nama Sushriye Nama Uttama Shriye Swaha. Okay, good. Obviously, that's about Manjushri, right? So it's a the prostration amplification mantra is based on the Manjushri Tantra, which is the angel of wisdom. I think he has a button-down white shirt, NASA style, with the plastic pen holder, and he's got a pen there. That whole sword thing is a mistake. He's got a pen protector there to, so his white shirt doesn't get, you know... that's Manjushri, the Lord of Wisdom. of emptiness teachings. Namah means I bow down, right? Namaskar. Su Shriye means lovely glory. Su means good, right? Shri means glory. The Tibetan of Shri is Pelma, hot, burning, blazing. Okay, that's the meaning of Pelma. I don't know why Rinpoche gave her that name. Uttama Shri, then Nama Uttama Shri. Uttama means like Uttanasana, right? It means extreme. Utta means extreme. Tana means to stretch, like tendon comes from that. So, or tenuous comes from that. So anyway, Uttama Shriya means highest glory. So here's my translation of the mantra. Om, I bow down to the glory of gentle voice. I bow down, I bow to that lovely glory. I bow to that glory supreme, Svaha. Okay, and that's the meaning of that mantra. I'll put it on a piece of paper for you. And I'll give you the correct spelling and stuff, okay? So those are the two amplification mantras before you do. First one before any virtuous activity, second one before prostrations. And they were taught by Lord Buddha and they are found in the Kangya, okay? So then tomorrow we'll conclude the Diamond Mountain part with the practice of the 35 Buddhas, okay? Reciting the names of the 35 Buddhas, which you got the paper already, so please bring the paper tomorrow. It's an ancient, ancient teaching by Lord Buddha from the Vinaya. And it is to prostrate to 35 beings who already finished their three-year retreat and got enlightened. Probably will have to add your names later. So there are 35 Buddhist names. Shakyamuni is one of them. And we recite their names as we do our, as we do prostrations and as we do confession. And then Atisha, Lord Atisha, stated in one of his works, quoted by Gyaltsebji, that each Buddha's name has a particular power for a certain kinds of bad karma. And he gives the worst example of them. So in that list, please don't think those are typical bad deeds like killing your mother or, you know, breaking up a spiritual community, which are the most severe karmas of any person can commit. Don't think those are... It's just the theme is that. You see what I mean? So any kind of violent action that you did in your past, you can use that particular Buddha's name. And we'll talk how to do it tomorrow. So don't think you have to kill your mother to use that mantra, okay? They're just giving the most extreme... what they're saying is that what Lord Atisha is saying, that even that karma can be cleansed if you do this practice properly. And he's taking the most extreme negative karma that a person can do. Okay. All right. So don't think you have to have done that to recite this sutra. Okay. Any kind of violence, like we do violence every few minutes, right? On a small level to other people. All right. I know you've been sitting here all day. And thank you for being patient. And I'm sorry I kept you late. I try not to do that nowadays, but so we'll do tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get a little bit into the next practice, which is rejoicing, which is more fun to teach. Because I believe that people focus too much on their negative karmas and not enough on the good things they're doing. I strongly, from many years of teaching, I believe that that's a major spiritual obstacle, that people don't appreciate themselves enough and the good stuff they're doing. So we'll squash it in tomorrow somehow, okay? All right, you ready, Uncle Phil?
Yeah. Chokshi Mehto Chahamri Rahamlingshi Ninde Yembadi
Chanchu Sancho Rinpoche Makepa Namke Gyurchi Kepa Nyampa Mepaya Kone Kondu Pewa Sho. That's good. In your mind. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for today. It was a very extremely sweet day. And sweet talks. Looking forward to more tomorrow.